Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for the good things that are coming. We also know that terrible things are coming. And we thank you for keeping us through it. Your hand is on it all. An atmosphere for revival is going to overtake the world. And your man-child ministry is coming. So thank you, Father, for what you're going to do for the good and for the bad. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to cover Planet X, Asteroid and Effects, Part 2. And I have some very, very good news for you, which I'm very happy to share with you. But it's kind of muted by some bad stuff that's coming down the road, which we'll get to that at the very end. Please follow along with these updates as things unfolded. Just remember that. Please notice that what would have happened except for the mercy, grace, and the love of God that has just been revealed. For that, I'm very happy. We're going to cover what was, what would have been, so we can see the grace of God, and what will be. So, I'm going to cover a little bit of stuff you already know, so that people that are new can hear what we're saying and understand. Okay. My first note is that I was told by the Lord not to warn of this until I was told to, and I was shown by the Lord on 3/27/24 that an asteroid will show up beside the sun on 4/15/24. President Trump, who asked me to use his name, whom we were in contact with, said their astronomers confirmed this came to pass. The asteroid will be 10 days ahead of Planet X, Nibiru. Planet X will show up beside the sun. Again, this is what we were first warning of, right? Will show up beside the sun 4/25/24 because it is front and side lighted by the sun. It will show best at 4 p.m. EDT, and it will look like a star on the left side of the sun, unquote. So moments after that time, we saw it. On 4/25/24, Michael and I had one pair of these paper and plastic eclipse glasses, and we were passing them back and forth. We saw the same thing at the 8 o'clock position on the sun and very close to the sun, but we think we were only seeing the half of it that was facing the sun because it was lighted. I've heard that infrared would show the whole thing. Well, at one point, I could barely see three very small dots positioned on the face and the edge of the sun in a semicircle facing this thing that was at the 8 o'clock position. And that was Planet X. I thought it could be orbitals or moons of Planet X, which we have had dreams about. And they soon disappeared as they moved and were no longer in the front of the sun. President Trump was watching, too, as he spoke with us. He said their astronomers said it is there. They confirmed it. It is there. And I asked President Trump if he would try to get us some professional pictures, and he said he would try. And he is very busy at this moment. After leaving the sun, it will be hard to see until it's closer, and far bigger to our view. Okay, that was what was coming. Possibly because infrared is needed to see it in space. The Lord said, quote, "The powers that be will attempt to cloud up the sky, but the angels will sweep the clouds away." Unquote. Well, this is exactly what happened. As we all watched, the sun was clear and distinct, like I haven't seen it in a long, long time. And it was with very clear sky. Usually it's so diffused with the garbage that they're spraying up there in our atmosphere that you can't make it out. You can't even see the edges of it. It's just a blur. And shortly after we saw what we did, the clouds moved back in. So we know it was a revelation from God. He wanted us to see it and others to see it who are going to report on it. So, we have just got our 40-day warning, like Jonah, who said in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And we're going to revisit this later, but obviously there's 40 days from there to Earth. Okay. So the asteroid, quote, "The asteroid will hit Earth 40 days from first sighting on 5/25/24, unquote. This is the same day years ago on 5/25 that Virginia Boldia saw three pieces hit the earth in her revelation. That was a strong confirmation, which I didn't know about at the time. Quote, "Planet X will fly by Earth 40 days after the first sighting on 6/4/24, hence a 40-day warning," unquote. Now, here's an update. It's not an update to today. It was an update from that day. So, the Lord said, quote, "Planet X would eventually fly 10 times faster than Earth does in its orbit." However, this is very slow for Planet X. It's a screamer, okay? The Lord said, quote, "When Planet X was attempting to leave the sun, its gravity was pulling it back, causing it to begin to slow down." To begin to slow down. And the Lord said, quote, "It is not escaping the gravity, but will turn and fall into orbit around the sun." So, that's unquote. So, Planet X is leaving its orbital plane and joining the sun's orbital's plane. Later, he said, quote, "The orbit will be between Earth and Venus," unquote. I asked President Trump if his astronomers see that Planet X was turning to fall into orbit. And he said, yes, it is. And of course, he got that from his astronomers. And I asked the Lord if the timings we were given at the first will still be right. And he said, yes. So it could orbit the sun once at a greater speed and will come up to 10 days behind the asteroid as Planet X affects the Earth. I believe that Planet X is constantly slowing down and eventually would settle into orbit, as the Lord said, at a speed of 10 times that of Earth, which would make an orbit in approximately 36 and a half days. It would orbit the sun many times for 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's what was. That's what was being threatened. That was what was being shown. Okay. The dragon beast lasted for 3.5 years of the tribulation. And my thought was, could the Planet X dragon do the same thing, only last 3.5 years of tribulation? Because that's how long the... In the book of Revelation chapter 12, it lasted, the dragon. That's another dragon. There's two dragons. I'll talk to you about that. But they seem to be symbolizing one another, okay? And, of course, this was before God's mercy and grace just got revealed to us. The damage has been seen. It's not near the damage it would be after it passed a few times, obviously, but it's been seen. The Lord said, "This is a direct result of Planet X," unquote. Indeed, Planet X was passing by in orbit when this erupted. Okay. May the 10th, 2024, catastrophic solar storm threatens Earth. I'll just give you just a little clip of each one of these. The biggest solar storm in years approaches, threatening our electric world. Disruptions to mobile phones, GPS, and power systems nationwide expected. NOAA has issued a severe G4 geomagnetic storm watch, the first since 2005. Here's another one. Geomagnetic storm upgraded to G5. That's the strongest level available, and the first G5 level storm to strike Earth since October of 2003. Here's another one. The most powerful solar storm in the last two decades recently hit Earth. This event was caused by a group of sunspots about 16 times the size of Earth. They released several X-class solar flares and coronal mass ejections directly towards our planet. These solar emissions led to severe geomagnetic storms ranked at the highest intensity level of G5, making the most intense storms since the 2003 Halloween storms. Elon Musk noted that the Starlink satellite service was experiencing issues due to the storm. He wrote on the social platform X that its satellites were, quote, under a lot of pressure, but holding up so far, unquote. The storms also disrupted power grids, GPS systems, and high-frequency communications in certain areas. These events suggest that the solar maximum, a period of peak solar activity in the sun's 11-year cycle, might arrive earlier than anticipated. As the sun's magnetic field flips, we can expect more geomagnetic storms. The sun is upset. And that would be in the coming months. They could further disrupt radio communications and electrical infrastructure. The reason behind the recent solar storm is the sunspot group named AR3664. The AR3664 cluster rotated into view of Earth a few days ago. At that time, it looked fairly normal. But then it grew quickly to become 16 times as wide as our planet. Why did that happen? Planet X was passing by. That was spanning 200,000 kilometers or 125,000 miles. It became one of the largest sunspots of the current solar cycle. NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center issued warnings of increased solar flare risk from AR3664 at the beginning of the month. AR3664 emitted a total of 75 M-class flares and 10 X-class flares within a week, accounting for 50% of the X-class flares this year. Oh, the sun was upset. Geomagnetic storms can have significant impacts on our electrical power grids and satellite infrastructure. And this can cause transformers to be saturated and overheat. Specifically, transformers may fail. In severe cases, these issues can result in large-scale blackouts. In 2022, a flare from the sun resulted in the loss of 40 newly launched Starlink satellites. Yes, they had to go rebuild some and send them back up. Currently, the sunspot group known as AR3664 has moved behind the sun's disk May the 11th, making it temporarily invisible from Earth. This means that any solar emissions from this group will not affect our planet for the next 2 weeks. Based on past behaviors observed in the sunspots, there is a possibility that this group could remain active once it becomes visible again. Mm-hmm. Just before, well, that's if it becomes visible again, right? So just before it rotated out of view on May the 11th, AR3664 produced significant solar activity, including a much larger X5.8 flare, the latter of which was associated with a CME. This activity suggests that AR3664 could still produce more solar flares in the future and indicates that its cycle of activity isn't over yet. AR3664 is no ordinary sunspot. It's so big that it can be seen from Earth without magnification. The size of AR3664 is comparable to the sunspot that caused the Carrington event in 1859. And I'm just going to put a few things out here. If Planet X did happen, from history and science, what could come with that? It could cause extreme earthquakes and tsunamis to cross America and the world, CMEs, all of which we have been warned about. It could cause an earth tide and slip the crust on the mantle, which could bring earthquakes around the world as it turns before this extreme gravitational planet. It could draw the South Pole towards it, pointing the northern hemisphere into darkness for a few days. It could slow Earth's rotation, causing the equatorial waters to rush north and south. This is because the Earth spins at over 1,000 miles an hour at the equator, and it causes a bulge at the equator. And the 13-plus miles of extra feet of Earth and water held at the equator would flood the Earth. Earth's orbit would eventually bring it through Planet X's tail as it leaves, which is full of asteroids, meteorites, boulders, and this would cause fireballs to rain on the Earth for about an hour or more, depending upon the angle of departure. I'm not an astronomer, as you can see, and I don't claim any titles. I just want to obey the Lord, and I want to see people to be spared to be a part of this coming revival and tribulation, and I know this will now happen, and I will explain, okay? President Trump confirmed that these specific dates are within the boundaries of the government astronomers' calculations, which I did not know. The first confirmation by President Trump that the asteroid did appear by the sun on 4/15/24, as I told him it would. He agreed that if the 10 days between the asteroid and the Planet X were correct, that Planet X would show up next to the sun on 4/25/24. And the Lord said, quote, "It will look like a star on the left side of the sun," unquote. And a very huge sun it is. As we saw, it showed up, confirmed by his astronomers. Well, we have received many dreams that an asteroid would enter the atmosphere and break into three pieces. One piece would hit in the North American plate's southern boundary, causing a huge slip fault, which would shake the United States fault lines loose. PX is only 10 days behind this and would be adding to the earthquake, the volcanic and CME and tsunami troubles. So our dreams, which were five in, about this particular thing, have said that an East Coast fault line that goes from New York through Washington, D.C. to Alabama to the Gulf will be the first to quake. Then to the New Madrid fault to split the country and dump the Great Lakes. Then it will go to the West Coast and simultaneously back to Tennessee. Dreams and revelations can be delayed by repentance, as it was with Nineveh, or just for a plea of mercy, as it was with Amos. At any rate, those who repent will be spared. So here's reasonable comments. Again, I'm telling you what was the first update, okay, and where we're going now, okay. But first, I'm going to talk about reasonable comments. And then that is that you don't move by fear of this revelation. Fear is faith in reverse. It permits the devil to take advantage of you. We are to fear only God. So seek the Lord for his directions for you and trust him. The angels would remove some people from dangerous areas. We would see water in places never before seen in our lifetime. And my warning for that first revelation was seek high ground as the Lord leads. The military used to advise their retirees to settle at least 400 feet above sea level. People should be gone from the East Coast, Gulf Coast, New Madrid Zone, Mississippi River Valley, and the West Coast before 5/25/24. I warned that back then, don't wait until there is a bottleneck or you won't get out. I've seen many times people sit through hurricanes on the interstate, stuck in their vehicles on the interstate because they waited too late to try to leave the Gulf Coast. Happened many times. Tsunamis are far more deadly. I-95 Bridge and Galveston Bridge were destroyed, being prepared as a death trap for those waiting too late, as the Lord revealed to others. So let me say, the deep state knows this is coming just as well as the alliance knows this was coming, and they were preparing to kill more people. Those of you on the west coast of Africa and Europe, beware of tsunamis. Yes, God will use these two catastrophes to judge the wicked. Make sure you're not one of them. Again, this is what I stated back then. I'm going to bring you up to what is today here directly. And, of course, there is a disaster coming, and I will talk about that. Confess your sins, according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ask the Lord to save you and to fill you with his Holy Spirit. The Man-Child Reformer Ministry is coming to lead us through the wilderness created by these things. Again, I have an update on this, so hold on. I'm telling you what we first stated in the first update that came after that, and I'm going to tell you the next update too. But first I want to tell you just how factual this thing is. Ancient history of Planet X. Okay, I got the Colburn Bible. It's a 21st century master's edition. The first time I talked about this some years ago, I got permission from Marshall Masters for letting us read from the Colburn. It's comprised of 11 books. The first six were written by Egyptian academics and scribes after the Exodus. It's very interesting. The five remaining books were penned by Celtic priests of early Britain after the death of Jesus. So what we see in these historic writings is a flyby, which is worse than an orbit passing. Flyby is the last encounter before PX goes back into outer space. And we're already seeing God's mercy as Nineveh, right? Okay, here's the Egyptian historians. And these are from different books. Okay, manuscripts 3 and 1. Men forget the days of the destroyer. Only the wise know where it went and that it will return in its appointed hour. It was as a billowing cloud of smoke enwrapped in a ruddy glow, not distinguishable in joint or limb. Its mouth was an abyss from which came flame, smoke, and hot cinders. And when ages pass, certain laws operate upon the stars in the heavens. Their ways change. There is movement and restlessness. They are no longer constant. And a great light appears redly in the skies. That's it. When blood drops upon the earth, the destroyer will appear, and mountains will open up and belch forth fire and ashes. Trees will be destroyed, and all living things engulfed. Waters will be swallowed up by the land, and seas will boil. I think the blood that they're talking about, we'll talk about it in a second, but it's probably rust. This thing is mostly metal, and it would appear to redden things, okay? The people will scatter in madness. They will hear the trumpet and the battle cry, because this thing makes noise, of the destroyer, and will seek refuge within dens in the earth. Terror will eat away their hearts, and their courage will flow from them like water from a broken pitcher. They will be eaten up in the flames of wrath and consumed by the breath of the destroyer. Let me say, if this thing had come through, there would have been a lot of death, because there's not enough caves to hide in, right? 9. The hour of the destroyer is at hand. In those days, men will have the great book before them. Upon its return, he's talking about this time, these days. Wisdom will be revealed. The few will be gathered for the stand. It is the hour of trial. The dauntless ones, the stout-hearted, will survive. Manuscripts 5 and 1. It twisted about itself like a coil. It was not a great comet or a loosened star, being more like a fiery body of flame. This was the aspect of the doom shape, called the destroyer, when it appeared in days long gone by in olden times. The doom shape is like a circling ball of flame which scatters small fiery offspring in its train. It covers about a fifth part of the sky and sends writhing snake-like fingers down to the earth. Manuscripts 6 and 1 on down. And I'm skipping through here. I'm not staying steady here. The dark days began with the last visitation of the destroyer, foretold by strange omens in the skies. These were days of ominous calm when the people waited for they knew not what. The days of stillness were followed by a time when the noise of trumpeting and shrilling was heard in the heavens. Yeah. The people spoke of the God of the slaves. Yeah, well, that's the Hebrews at the Passover and the Red Sea, right? His manifestation was in the heavens for all men to see, but they did not see with understanding. Dust and smoke clouds darkened the sky and colored the waters upon which they fell with a bloody hue. Plague was throughout the land. The river was bloody, and blood was everywhere. And that there's a note here, red ash mixed with water. Okay. Verse 12. In the glow of the destroyer, the earth was filled with redness. Vermin bred and filled the air and face of the earth with loathsomeness. The face of the land was battered and devastated by a hail of stones, which smashed down all that stood in the path of the torrent. Manuscripts 6 and 14. The fish of the river died in the polluted waters. Worms, insects, and reptiles sprang up from the earth in huge numbers. Great gusts of wind brought swarms of locusts, which covered the sky. The darkness was not the clean blackness of night, but a thick darkness in which the breath of men was stopped in their throats. Men gasped in a hot cloud of vapor, which enveloped all of the land and snuffed out all of the lamps and fires. You remember the lamps going out? The earth turned over during a pole shift. That was a note, during a pole shift. The earth turned over as clay spun upon a potter's wheel. The whole land was filled with uproar from the thunder of the destroyer. On the great night of the destroyer's wrath, there was a hail of rocks. The land writhed under the wrath of the destroyer and groaned with the agony of Egypt. It shook itself. There were 9 days of darkness and upheaval, while a tempest raged such as never has been known before. The slaves spared by the destroyer left the accursed land forthwith. Yep, they did. Let's get out of here. Many Egyptians attached themselves to the host, for one who was great led them forth, a priest prince. Moses, that was Moses, in the inner courtyard. Fire mounted up on high, and its burning left with the enemies of Egypt. It rose up from the ground as a fountain and hung as a curtain in the sky. In several days, by Remoir, the accursed ones joined to the waters. To the waters. That was 7 days is accurate, you know, to the Red Sea. We've talked about that before. They crossed the heaving wilderness while the hills melted around them. Above, the skies were torn with lightning. Pharaoh had gathered his army and followed the slaves. The host of Pharaoh came upon the slaves by the saltwater shores, but was held back from them by a breath of fire. A great cloud was spread over the hosts and darkened the sky. Well, we know that's in the Bible too, right? And a whirlwind arose in the east and swept over the encamped hosts. There was a strange silence, and then, in the gloom, it was seen that the waters had parted, leaving a passage between them. The slaves had been making sacrifices in despair. Then, in exaltation, their leader, that was Moses, led them into the midst of the waters through the confusion. Then the fury departed, and there was silence. The captains went forward, and the host rose up behind them. Big mistake. Pharaoh fought against the hindermost of the slaves. The heavens roared as with a thousand thunders. The bowels of the earth were sundered, and earth shrieked its agony. The earth was making noise, probably a slip fault or a crustal slip. The dry ground fell beneath the waters, and great waves broke upon the shore. The great surge of rocks and waters overwhelmed the chariots of Egyptians who went before the footmen. Tidings of the disaster came back by Rageb, son of Thomath, who hastened on ahead of the terrified survivors because of his burning. The broken land lay helpless, and invaders came out of the gloom like carrion. Yes, when they lost their military, they were invaded by all kinds of people plundering them. Right. The air was purified, the breath of the destroyer passed away, and the land became filled again with growing things. Okay, this is Gleanings 6 and 30. 100 generations had passed since the overwhelming deluge, and 10 generations since the destroyer last appeared. That was talking about the flood, you know, and then the destroyer. Creation 3 and 2. God caused a celestial dragon from out of heaven to come and encompass her about. The seas were loosened from their cradles and rose up, pouring across the land, creating giant tsunamis. Men stricken with terror went mad at the awful sight in the heavens. The breath was sucked from their bodies, and they were burnt with a strange ash. Then it passed, leaving earth enwrapped within a dark and glowering mantle, which was ruddily lit up inside. The bowels of the earth were torn open in great writhing upheavals. The earth vomited forth great gusts of foul breath from awful mouths, opening up in the midst of the land. The evil breath bit at the throat before it drove men mad and killed them. Only sky boulders and red earth remained where once they were, but amidst all of the desolation, a few survived, for man is not easily destroyed. Then the great canopy of dust and cloud, which encompassed the earth, enshrouding it in heavy darkness, was pierced by ruddy light. And the canopy swept down in great cloudbursts and raging storm waters. And when the light of the sun pierced the earth's shroud, the foul air was purified, and new air clothed the reborn earth, shielding her from the dark, hostile void of heaven. The rainstorms ceased to beat upon the faces of the land, and the waters stilled their turmoil. Earthquakes no longer tore the earth open, nor was it burned and buried by hot rocks. The waters were purified, the sediment sank, and life increased in abundance. The sun was not as it had been, and a moon had been taken away. Evidently there was another moon. Or it could have been one of the moons of X that was taken away. Anyway, man found the new earth firm and the heavens fixed. He rejoiced, but also feared, for he lived in dread that the heavens would again bring forth monsters and crash about him. When men came forth from their hiding places and refuges, the world their fathers had known was gone forever. The face of the land was changed, and when the structure of heaven collapsed, okay. All right, this is Creation 4 and 5. Then God caused a sign to appear in the heavens so that men should know the earth would be afflicted, and the sign was a strange star. The star grew and waxed to a great brightness and was awesome to behold. It put forth horns and sang, being unlike any other ever seen. Well, the horns are what Planet X looks like going through space. It has either wings or horns. You could describe it either way as it passes through space. Okay, this is Scrolls 33:12. Great mistress of the stars, let us abide in peace, for we fear the revelation of your horns. And this is Origins 8 and 3. They worshipped in error the malignant horned star and her escorts. That's those orbitals around Planet X. In his 1999 book, Exodus to Arthur, Mike Bally wrote, Lydus was in the opinion that if the Earth ever again ran into Typhon, that was one of the names of Planet X, the former would be destroyed in the encounter. There were close associations between the plagues of Exodus and the phenomenon associated with Typhon. Typhon was the destroyer of the Exodus. Yes, during its last flyby, Typhon affected Earth by nudging it into a slightly larger orbit around the sun. So 5 days had to be added to the calendar, which he points out was commonly 360 days, as it was with the Hebrews, right? So it changed our calendar. And we know that the destroyer was known as Nibiru by the Sumerians, destroyer by the Egyptians and the Hebrews, Phaeton by the Greeks, Typhon by Pliny, and Frightener by the Celts. So, did you notice Lydus was in the opinion that if the Earth ever again ran into Typhon, the former would be destroyed in the encounter? The Earth would be destroyed, but the Earth has to have tribulation to manifest the sons of God. And accordingly, the Lord just said to me, I will destroy both Planet X and the asteroid. Unquote. And I was told, quote, the asteroid will veer off into space. Planet X will not make the first complete orbit to return. Unquote. I don't know how this would happen. Would it dive into the sun, or would the solar flares and CMEs take it out? I have no idea how that would happen, but I do know God can do it. Matter of fact, I was having a conversation with Michael, you know, about this thing is a wrecking ball, you know. It's mostly metal. It's a wrecking ball, you know. And the Lord said to me, that the spirit realm rules over the physical realm. It's no harder for him to destroy a wrecking ball than it was to create it. So, let me share with you what brought us to this point, okay? After Planet X, Asteroid and Effects Part 1, I was somewhat grieved that we tried but were not able to reach the people in harm's way, especially in the islands and coasts, with this warning. No doubt some of our E-list reached relatives and friends, but most would not listen, as normal, or consider this sort of thing, which is normal, lost human behavior. That's what people do, even lost so-called Christian behavior. They don't believe it. They haven't seen it before, so it can't happen, right? So these are the people we want to live to see the wonderful revival about to start. We don't want to see mass losses of humanity. And it's not going to happen by Planet X, but it will happen. We know the book of Revelation is true. So the Lord had just given me a teaching about Abraham in interceding for Lot and family when the angels came to Sodom to bring them out so that God could destroy the evil Sodomites of the plain. And God heard Abraham's request because of his friendship, and he reasoned with him of justice for the few righteous, so God had mercy. And also the angels were going to destroy Zoar, like all of the rest of the cities, and for the same reason, they were totally corrupt. But God had mercy on those pagans for the sake of Lot's little family that was going there. So just remember that, you know, when there is great destruction, God is in control, right? Everyone wonders, why did all of the Assyrians listen to Jonah, who was a Jew, when they had a different God and were enemies of the Jews? That is a good question. Some have the theory I'm just going to call it a theory because I don't know, that when they looked up, they saw planet X come up beside the sun, and it was 40 days away. So they believed Jonah when he said, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Again, that's just a theory. Quite a few people have that. The president had the military spread out to defend about 300 to 360 cities from the anarchists. And they are spread all over the world fighting the deep state rulers. They would be needed to do evacuations, and many would not cooperate to leave. He considered Tucker getting the word out, but he still would have had to stop the war at a very bad time. But God ultimately brought the only solution. In part one, I heard that the president would back off from the GCR redistribution of wealth because the money would be needed to restore vital services after PX and the asteroid came through. So when I spoke to the president about this, he confirmed it. That was exactly on his mind. So immediately the GCR went on the back burner. Then, more recently, after the update that I shared above, which movements were confirmed by the president's astronomers, the GCR got hot again, and it is hot now. So I asked the Lord, what happened? And he said, I took PX out of his mind, quote unquote. So I contacted him, and I told him that I'd noticed that he had gone back to supporting the GCR and so on and so forth. And he told me the same thing with the same words. President Trump said, David, I don't know what happened. PX was just taken out of my mind, quote unquote. So when I questioned the Lord, he said, I will destroy both PX, Planet X, and the asteroid. So Jonah said, for God, quote, in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed, unquote. But it wasn't. And Amos had the same experience with God. The people repented and God had mercy. But in Amos' sake, it was just a plea for mercy. There wasn't repentance. It was a plea for mercy. So years ago, in a vivid dream, I saw myself standing over the Gulf of Mexico, looking down on the U.S., whose borders had sides like a swimming pool. In other words, all around the outside border of the United States, there was this wall creating a swimming pool. And the inside was full of water with fish swimming everywhere. Speaking about the people, right, that needed to be caught. So I looked up Nineveh, which was the head of the Assyrian beast empire, which kind of matched the United States being the head of the world beast. Nineveh was written ideographically as a fish in an enclosure. There was a huge bomb hanging above the United States in that vision that I had by a string with a bow tied in it. And it was very obvious that we were in great danger of judgment at that time. It did not fall, and I knew it was the delay of judgment. But now I am seeing that it was prophetically also speaking of mercy in this time. But it is always possible that Father gives you individually mercy. This will be a Psalm 91 Passover for the saints. And, of course, this is grace and absolutely wonderful news that this thing is not going to be coming through because of the destruction and the fact that you couldn't get people out of the way of it. Most of them would not obey you or think you are telling the truth or even get the message. So some might say, but David, you made such a good case that God would use Planet X to take down the deep state enemy. But the collateral damage and death would be tremendous. The waves, so on and so forth, earthquakes and so on. Whereas one angel took out 185,000 men in one night and there was no collateral damage and no collateral death. In George Washington's vision of three wars on this soil, the first two were exactly right. And the third we are fighting now. In this war, the Patriots were outgunned by the invaders, but the angels came beside them and they conquered the invaders and drove them out of the country. So this is God's solution. The angels will take down the invaders in every nation when the chastening is sufficient with no collateral damage. Well, that's interesting. Some say they saw the Revelation 12 sign in the heavens on September the 23rd, 2017. That was a sign. Signs come before the fact. They do that so that people can be ready and or pray it down or whatever. So in that case, Saturn was seen as the dragon. Saturn is also a type of Satan. In Revelation 12 scenario, Satan is the dragon beast. I'm going to differentiate the dragon beast from the dragon star. The dragon beast has a body made up of people. That's just like the Lord has a body of people. The dragon beast had a body of people, 7 heads and 10 horns. And if this sign has come up since then, I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with it, but the star software wouldn't show this planetary system because its head is a rogue sister to our sun that's not admitted by the powers that be since they first discovered it and bragged about it. Then they quickly backtracked so they could make it into their bunkers before every one of us wanted to be in there, right? So the man-child mentioned in the sign is a corporate worldwide body of people, just like the woman, the harlot, the beast, the false prophet, etc. All of these are corporate bodies and more. The Lord showed me that the history of the early church has to repeat, but on a larger scale, with many more people as the actors. And like Moses and Jesus, these man-childs are a first-fruits body of reformers that will lead the church through the wilderness tribulation, like Moses did, right? So here's the sign. Revelation 12 and 1, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now this woman is not Israel. This woman is the church. John was told, come up hither and I will show you the things that will come to pass hereafter. It was a long time after Jesus that this sign was of coming things, right? Because history repeats, and it repeats on a larger scale, except now the people of God in the New Testament are born again people of God. So, with the moon under her feet and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. I believe that's the doctrine of the 12 apostles. And she was with child, and she cried out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Notice that, great red dragon. This is the dragon beast. But look at the parallel. Okay, we're going to look at that in just a minute. NASA called the planetary system of which PX is a part of the Nemesis System. Nemesis means one that afflicts retribution or vengeance. Nemesis is the central solar planet of this system, which never reached nuclear ability like our sun did. And we are in a binary system, a two-star system, like almost all systems out there are. The deep state doesn't want you to see these things, so you won't see it from them. And it also needs infrared to be seen and is very far away except for Planet X, which goes through our solar system. It's the farthest reaching orbital of Nemesis. So please understand this. There are two dragons. One is the historic Planet X dragon. The other is the end time dragon beast in Revelation 12, identified as the body of Satan. That body has seven heads, identified in the Bible as seven world ruling beasts who ruled over God's people and whose seed are all with us today in the end time. It also had 10 horns, representing the 10 continental divisions of the world. In short, it is the whole world in Satan, okay, but outside of Christ. These two dragons have a symbolic relationship, as we will see, okay, but they are two different dragons. So notice in our text of Revelation 12 and 3 that the dragon beast is being called the Great Red Dragon. And that is because there is a lesser red dragon. Our Revelation 12 context shows, goes on to say, having seven heads. Notice the two beasts in symbolism are related. Nemesis has seven orbitals. Seven heads. The outermost one is Planet X, which passes through our solar system. It is the lesser red dragon and is called this because it is a head of the dragon body. And the text goes on to say, and 10 horns. It was called the horned planet by the ancient historians because it appears to have horns or wings as it flies through space. And again, our text. And upon his heads, seven diadems, and his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. Well, the Planet X dragon tail is full of asteroids, meteors, boulders, which look like stars falling to earth when the earth passes through it. The Greek word for star here is aster, from which we get our word asteroid. Because physically speaking, if just one star fell to the earth, that would be the end of the earth. No, we're talking about asteroids in that particular case, okay? So watching the stars on the horizon as a pole crustal shift of one-third turn of the earth happens, which also speaks of one-third of the stars as the seed of Abraham falling away, symbolically. There's many revelations to revelations. A pole shift can return to its original position after Planet X is gone, but the crustal shift will stay. And we personally have had dreams about being closer to the equator when this is over and having Hawaiian weather. Wow. Okay, so where are we going with this? I'm going to go a little bit further. So continuing with verse 4. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered. Well, the dragon beast opposes the woman church. They have a great hatred. They are satanic, as the rest of the text says, and they hate the church. As much as it's not the church, by the way. That when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Okay, this is the man-child body, which is following in the steps of the Lord Jesus. But this is to come to pass here after the Lord Jesus, according to the beginning of the revelation in the book of Revelation, right? So the woman church is going into the wilderness tribulation, chased by the dragon beast at the beginning of Revelation 12, which is the beginning of the first 3.5 years. And the dragon beast with 7 heads and 10 horns only lasts 3.5 years before Revelation 13 starts the second 3.5 years, which is the nondescript beast. It's just called beast, okay? So now, with the 7 heads and 10 horns, and the dragon is gone. So now the beast has the 7 heads and 10 horns, and the dragon's gone. So my question, of course, was, would the Planet X dragon also last that long? Well, thankfully, because of the grace of God, we now know it will not. Okay. Would it have? I think so. Okay, continuing our text, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Yes, God has prepared a place in the wilderness for his people to grow up in God. Jesus taught them for 3.5 years, and he went out into the desert. Sometimes it's the same word for wilderness, right? He taught them as a type of the man-child of his day. So I asked the Lord if there would still be earthquakes, and got a yes. And I asked if other dates that were also associated with the promises, would they still be right, and I got a yes. And I asked if the angels were taking down the factious in church and state who are not elect, and got magnificently. That's what he said. That was his opinion, magnificently. So the bad news is we are now headed towards a civil war. The things still have to happen. They won't happen at the hand of Planet X, but we have this civil war coming. Revelation 6 and 4. And another horse came forth, a red horse, and to him that sat thereon it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. We'll cover this more in the days to come, should we not fall into the 10 days of darkness, which is why I'm sharing this with you now. Okay, I want to talk about ministering angels, because we see that the angels are going to do quite a work. And according to to Washington's vision, they did do quite a work. They made it possible for us to win that war. Okay, Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? Yes, they are, and yes, they do. Okay, a lot of the church doesn't know anything about this. They paint them with fairy tale pictures and so on and so forth, you know. They don't have any relationship with them at all. Who relates the best to angels and need the most angels, because they'll actually put them to work? What is their ministry? And what is their service to us, the angels, right? So John was told the heavenly Jerusalem was the bride coming down out of heaven. And they totally misunderstand this, totally. And here they are fellowshipping with the innumerable hosts of angels. Why are they all gathered around these people? Because they'll put them to work. You think that's silly? Nope. Hebrews 12 and 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion. Notice he said, you are come unto Mount Zion, this heavenly place, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. They came to the heavenly Jerusalem in Hebrews 12 and 22. And to innumerable hosts of angels. So who relates best to the angels? who lead the obedient Christians to the bride city of God and conquer their enemies. Yeah, that's right, the bride. Deuteronomy 7 and 20, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee by the way." So I asked Baruch, whom the Lord said was the head of the UBM angels, "Are you this angel to me?" He said, "Yes." Many times the enemy I know has tried to harm or even kill me, but like Psalm 91 says, he keeps us from injury. And my angel Baruch has saved me many times. And what is this angel for? The text goes on to say, "And to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Oh boy, we are looking for a place, right? A place in the wilderness prepared for the woman, right? So he keeps us and he brings us to our promised land, physical and spiritual. In other words, conquering our flesh man and his spirits until we have rest from our enemies as we obey God through him. So let's continue to see what we see here. 21. "Take heed before him and hearken unto his voice. Provoke him not." So as we will see, if we don't listen to him, that is our angel, sometimes called our guardian angel, if we don't listen to him, he is provoked. "For he will not pardon your transgression." So let me say, he will spank us when we do not listen to him. Sometimes people call this an accident, but it's not. It's a spanking. "For my name is in him." That's very important. Name means nature, character, and authority of the Lord is in that angel that is to lead you through this wilderness to the promised land and conquer your enemies. So he represents the Lord to you and must be respected. He has the name in him. 22. "But if thou shalt indeed hearken unto his voice and do all that I speak." First, people that don't hearken to his voice, let me say, is the faction they don't even believe in him. And that's because they get corrected by him. Well, notice, God speaks to us through his angel, who speaks to us through our conscience and to give direction from the Lord. Many entertain angels unawares, the Bible says. And Satan tells the wicked that angels don't converse with men, which flies in the face of the whole Bible. You'd think they never read the Bible. So these people don't believe in angels because, like I said, they speak against them and their sins, which they witness every day. They know everything that they do, and they have told us before what they do. So if we listen to the Lord through his angel, God goes on to say, "Then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries." That sounds like it's pretty important. We're always to try the spirits to see if they agree with the word. Always. Okay. Verse 23, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, and I will cut them off." Oh, so the angel goes before us to cut them off. He cuts off the old man of our land and the factious enemies who attempt to deceive and control and spiritually or physically harm us. The Lord said to me, "A Christian who falls into faction no longer has a good angel, but is under fallen angels or demons," as Hermas Revelation points out too. And of course, the enemies cannot match wits nor power with God's angels. The fallen angels are stupid angels. That's why we call them stupid spirits when they enter into the faction. They're stupid. But God's angels are not stupid. So Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them. In other words, don't serve the lusts of their demons, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and break in pieces their pillars. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall none cast her young, nor be barren in that day, in that land. The number of thy days will I fulfill. I will send my terror before thee. So we just read that our angel is before us, using the same terminology. It's a terror before us. And will discomfit. Okay, so the angel is going to discomfit our enemies. That means to confuse, scatter, frustrate the plans of, embarrass, defeat. And will discomfort all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Meaning they will run from us, for they are uncomfortable around us, and besides what the angels do to them. And I will send the hornet before thee. Well, there's another one. Look, notice the Father will send the angel, the terror, and the hornet, which is also a terror. If you've ever had to get out of the way of a hornet, you know that. And it's before us and against our enemies. So the angel will manifest terror and fear to our enemies. The Lord has spoken to me several times concerning the factions, saying, they fear you, David. Well, one reason for this is because they have seen what the Lord's angels have done to destroy them and their friends. And we're always sad to see this. We didn't want this. We hated to see them fall into this misery. And we pray that they will repent and be saved. But we have no authority to wrestle with flesh and blood. We can only agree with the Lord, so they should fear him. They that shouldn't fear us, they should fear him. He's the one doing this. Okay, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. Yep, the wicked are going to get out of the way. Well, notice the human enemies and their gods, the fallen angels, cannot stand before the angels of God when we are in obedience. Psalm 103:20-21. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Back to our text, verse 29. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. So Father keeps us humble by giving us an enemy. He's teaching us warfare. You know, he's teaching us spiritual warfare and how to be holy so that we're not opening a door, right? So he does this to keep us from being lifted up by pride and are dependent and submissive to him. That's what this does. Satan was very proud of his beauty and authority and became puffed up, wanting to take God's place or usurp his authority. And every factious person receives witchcraft, faction, and slander. And one of the most recent ones stated some things about that that we understood. Verse 30, by little and little will I drive them out from before thee. Okay, so this method of driving the enemies out keeps us humble and dependent upon God. Until thou be increased, I would say grow up, right? And inherit the land. So the land here is twofold. The natural land that the Lord has promised us will be rid of the enemies. And the spiritual land of the natural man must be delivered from the lusts of the flesh, which are basically offspring of the demons, right? Verse 31, "For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods." So, in other words, have no agreement with their idols and the unfruitful works of darkness. Shun them as commanded, or they will leaven you, right? Verse 33, "They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin." That's right. We discovered that that is so true. They have to leave. "And make thee sin against me, for if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." Certainly is, and we have seen it very clearly. Fortunately, they always run to their own kind when they're discovered, right? They feel more comfortable around sinners. So 2 John 1:10 and 11 says, "If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting." This is very important. "For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works." In other words, they will fall into the sin. Well, notice, even a greeting can cause you to be infected with their demons. Angels appeared to bring promises to Abraham and to hear his requests. Watch. Genesis 18 and 1. "And the Lord appeared unto him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the tent, in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood over against him." As we will see, one was the Lord, and two were angels, and all were manifest in apparent flesh. "And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself to the earth, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away." Abraham knew who they were, right? "I pray thee from thy servant, let now a little water be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and strengthen ye your heart. After that you shall pass on, for as much as ye are come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said." Notice, they said, right? So here we see that Abraham spoke to the Lord and the angels, and they answered him. The factious agree we can't talk to angels, but they talk to and hear from fallen angels all the time. And verse 6, "And Abraham hastened." What did he hasten to do? He hastened to prepare a meal for them, which they ate. And verse 10, "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee when the season cometh round, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." Well, Sarah, verse 12, "And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child who am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" So we see here that the Lord and his angels, by the way, object to our unbelief. Verse 16, "And the men rose up from thence and looked forward toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do?" No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Abraham was his friend, and he didn't hide it from him. And because he raised his children who came after him to know and follow the Lord, as we see here in the next text, 18. "Seeing that Abraham had surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." So, in other words, he wasn't going to hide the secrets from him, because this was God's plan through him to invade the nations, right? Verse 19, "For I have known him to the end, that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, and to the end that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So, fathers gave charges to their children in those days after them, and when they obeyed, they received the promises. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." So as we will see, they were full of lust and were sexual perverts, just as many in the faction in church are and in state are now. Verse 21, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned from thence and went toward Sodom. So the two angels went to judge Sodom. But the text goes on to say, Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the Lord was distinguished from the other two men, quote unquote, which were angels. Verse 23, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou consume the righteous with the wicked?" Abraham, who was called God's friend, reasoned with him. He still listens to those of his friends that reason with him, by the way. He knows the end from the beginning. You're not going to fool him, but he likes our reasoning in many cases. 24. "Peradventure there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou consume and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" So the Lord listened to his faithful friend. And verse 26 goes on to say, "And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all of the place for their sake." Well, we can see that Abraham was pretty nervy and not satisfied until he got the Lord down to 10 instead of 50. But because he was a faithful friend, the Lord listened and probably did what he planned to do in the first place all along, right? And there weren't 10, by the way, righteous there, but he spared them by bringing them out. Okay. "And the Lord went his way, and soon as he had left off communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place." Genesis 19 and 1. "And the two angels." So the Lord left the judgment to the two angels, right? "Came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them, and rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face to the earth, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn aside, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night." Well, he knew the city and the predators, and we weren't warned of these predators too in our time, okay? "And wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Why would they say that? Do you suppose that they wanted him to see that he shouldn't live and raise children in such a place? Neither should we have fellowship with predators. Verse 3, "And he urged them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old, and all the people from every quarter." They had all been polluted and protected. This is what happens when you don't disassociate with them. This is what happens. Young and old, all were demonized, perverted predators, like we have known, and they pass it on to their whole families, like we have seen. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men that came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out unto them to the door and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, my brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters that have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do to ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for as much as they are come under the shadow of my roof. He knew these were very important men, but Lot didn't know the power of God over these devils, or this would not have been an alternative. Can you imagine it? I know everybody reads this and say, what? He did what? Yeah. And they said, stand back. And they said, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. They all pull the judge thing, right? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. So they accused him of judging them, and rightly so. So they admitted they would do evil to them all. And that was because they had no conscience, just as it is today, no conscience. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and drew near to break the door. But the men, which were angels, put forth their hand and brought Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. Now, that was a better alternative, wasn't it? They are all smitten with spiritual blindness, justifying themselves. That's how you get blind. Oh, no, it's okay. I can disobey the word because God told me this. Nope. So both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whomsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of the place. So pay attention to this. The angels were going to spare their relatives and friends from the destruction of Sodom. Well, we still have destruction coming. It's not going to be Planet X, but we still have destruction coming. All such places shall be judged. The angels can get your relatives, friends, and Christians out of there before it happens. Verse 13, For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, who married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed unto his sons-in-law as one that mocked. Well, it seems that they had become leavened by that evil place. So it's the same with us. Get out and don't raise children and grandchildren in such a place. It seems obvious. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters that are here. That's the others. The others didn't believe or leave, right? Lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Yep, get out, or you will be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Separate yourself from these evil people, or you'll be consumed with their iniquity. But he lingered, and the men, who were angels, laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, it's mercy, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So the angels didn't take no for an answer because of the promise that the Lord made to Abraham. and because of Lot. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all of the plain. In other words, pray for them, but separate from among the perverted people, or be destroyed with them. Don't look back in pity upon what they do. God is their enemy, and they are yours enemies. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So flee to the heavenly places in God, which are above this world, right? And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found favor. There's grace. Maybe it's a little greasy grace, I don't know. In thy sight. So did his wife count on this false grace when she willfully disobeyed and looked back? Thought she could get away with it after the angel told her so clearly? And thou hast magnified thy loving kindness, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain. Well, God saved him, and he was still self-willed. He felt he couldn't reach the high place in God before judgment fell, and he was told to go to high spiritual grounds. So, lest evil overtake me and I die. Overtake me means it would catch me before I got to the mountain, right? So, behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? Well, a few will escape by grace, right? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city of which thou hast spoken. Well, notice grace was given to one little city that was totally corrupt and would have been destroyed like all of the rest of the cities. It had angelic protection because of Lot's covering from Abraham. Verse 22, Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou be come thither. Well, just as Abraham was promised, and God doesn't break his promises, right? Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, meaning little. In other words, a small remnant escapes on low spiritual ground. That's because Zoar was just like the rest of them, but they were spared because of Lot's people in their midst. So the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot came unto Zoar. So light from the sun was given before judgment fell, but many ignored it, as they are doing now. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So we've watched the angels destroy all of the factious sodomites and sexual perverts and liars and thieves and slanderers very strongly since 2011. They descend into hell, and even hell on earth before that in their reprobation. Somebody looking at them from without can see the degeneration, but inside they think it's normal. Matthew 13 and 30, Let both grow together until the harvest. Hey, that's where we are. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13 and 41, The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling. Who causes stumbling? You know it. And them that do iniquity, yes, they do it, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's your fire. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So she became a monumental warning to those who disobey and pity Sodom in any way. Salt is, as you know, is an antiseptic. And I would say that means it's anti-perverse demons and their nature, right? Take the warning, right? And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the land went up as the smoke of a furnace. Notice they were utterly destroyed on the earth. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. Well, the righteous prayers are remembered with God. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Well, it was grace, because Lot resisted his directions. He always thought he knew better. You may know some people like that, but you know what? You can see that God will save them, because they have to grow up, right? Spared them, and so that they can grow up in the revival. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. Finally, he learned the lesson, right? Because they had the same low life as the rest of the cities. He had learned his lesson and was tormented with that leaven in his daughters. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. He obviously thought the whole world had been destroyed. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Thus were both of the daughters of Lot with child by their father. So the leaven of Sodom had infiltrated his daughters, whom he foolishly raised there, and the answer is, come out from among them and be separate. Pray for them long distance, as I call it. Yeah. The faction and the Satanists do this to their children, and sometimes physically, but always spiritually. They infect them. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites until this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Well, Ammon and Moab were offspring of Sodom's spirits. They became factious against their own kin as Judas and were judged. All these types are spiritual inbreds, which infects the brain and the gene pool, if you don't know. Good words are the seeds of the sower that gives life. That's why we put the word into our minds. People in those places don't put the word into their minds. They put all the perversion and everything that they see into their minds. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Evil words are the seeds of Satan that bring death. And those who listen die. So an angel came to Daniel to teach him. Daniel 9 and 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, who is the head of the messenger angels, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he instructed me. So angels instruct us. and he talked with me. There he is. So it's silly to say we can't hear from or speak with angels, since we see precedent all over the scripture about this. We have to continue to come out from the dead church who believes in nothing supernatural, right? And said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee wisdom and understanding. So angels speak for God in word of wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy? They do. I've called them perfect prophets because when they speak for the Lord, it's better than what men have normally. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment went forth, and I have come to tell thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. So angels bring interpretation of visions and prophecies. 70 weeks. We know this is 70 weeks of years because it adds up. In fact, it's 70 sevens, literally. Are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. That's an important statement right there. I believe an angel from God gave me an interpretation to this that I never heard of men having. When Jesus came, he began the new covenant rejecting the old covenant. The new covenant born again people are now Daniel's people. Since they crucified the messenger of the covenant, Jerusalem was no longer called in Scripture the holy city after that. Instead, the heavenly city is clearly the holy city. So 69 of the 70 weeks was decreed upon the old covenant people and city. When Israel rejected the new covenant, the 70th week is decreed upon the new covenant people and the holy city, including righteous Jews, who, as we know in the beginning, started this thing. So many are confused because they haven't made this connection. And it was to finish transgression and to make an end of sins. Well, the law could not make perfect, as Paul said, so God sought a new covenant. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, only cover it. So Jesus took away sin. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, it says. Those sacrifices didn't reconcile or exchange us to God. Jesus did that with the new covenant. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness? The law could not do this because it wasn't everlasting, and it didn't manifest in people the righteousness that they needed. It was only, the law only lasted until the seed should come to whom the promise was due. And we were told there that that seed was Jesus. The law only lasted until Jesus. We are righteous through the blood of Jesus. And the text went on, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. They couldn't seal that up in the Old Testament. As we're seeing here, the New Testament is giving us the revelation of the shadows and types of the Old Testament parables that they did not have, for it was sealed. For instance, Paul showed that baptism is the fulfillment of circumcision. And we are clearly told the Sabbatismos, the only place in the whole Bible is written because it was written to the Christians. He told the Sabbatismos, meaning a continual Sabbath rest from man's works, are demanded of us in Hebrews 4 and 9. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Talking about the New Testament people. Hebrews 4 and 9. It's called a Sabbatismos, the only word like it. And it's because there's a difference. And to anoint the most holy. Well, Jesus is the Christos, the most holy anointed one. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which equals 69 weeks. Aha. It shall be built again with street and moat, even in troublous times. Yes, it was. And after the 62 weeks shall the anointed one be cut off, which was after the 7 weeks, which is in verse 25. And it shows that Jesus being crucified after the 69 weeks were up, and shall have nothing. He had nothing in this world after that. And the people of the prince, and princes in Daniel are principalities, not men. In chapter 10, verse 13 and verse 20, we see the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, and Michael, the prince of the Lord's forces, all were principalities. And so he's telling you very clearly what prince he's talking about. So that prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. What prince did that? The Roman principality, demon, crucified Jesus and destroyed the city and the sanctuary. In Daniel's vision of the beast, the Roman principality continued all the way down the legs to the 10 toes of the 10 kings in the what? Last week, the 70th week. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. Even unto the end shall be war. Desolations are determined. Well, as in 70 AD, so it will be today. Yeah. And the covenant with many starts the last week, the 70th week of 7 years, which is the tribulation, with the same Roman principality making that covenant. Notice, it's the same person. Notice, and he, notice it here, verse 27, and he, the same principality, shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. Wait, that's 2,000 years later. Either you have a 2,000-year-old man here, or he is a principality. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and upon the wing or pinnacle, some versions have, of abominations shall come one. What, one what? Some people think that's the Antichrist. No. It's one abomination. This speaks of one abomination above the rest of the abominations that maketh desolate. So the mark of the beast is given to those who give up their crucified life, submit to the beast. The mark is the abomination that maketh many of God's New Testament temple desolate of God, for they are reprobated, as Revelation says. There are many wicked people out there trying to trick God's people into taking the mark of the beast, because they say the mark of God is higher. But that's not what Revelation says. And even unto a full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Wrath isn't poured out on buildings. The wrath is poured out on people who are the New Testament temple. That's why the temple is being used as a symbol. But a people who become desolate from the mark, that's who the wrath is being poured out on. Notice the desolate here are people who were part of the New Testament temple. Notice, unto the full end is the end of the tribulation and day of the Lord. In the last half of the tribulation. So in Revelation 13, the beast makes war on the saints to purify them and separate the desolate from them. Some people are too afraid of the beast. They're not going to obey the Lord. They're going to take the mark. So there's a separation there. So we see that angels came to bring revelation and even interpretation of revelations to those who do not respect man's interpretations. Angels also bring to pass the written judgments. Acts 8:26-35 says, "But an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. The same is desert." An angel of the Lord told him this. Angels can speak to us audibly, but most often they speak to our mind of the Spirit. In this case, it was clear instruction and direction, but it could be discernment, revelation, word of knowledge or wisdom, correction, encouragement, promises, etc. They've done all of this. Angels have done all of this. And of course, it would be in agreement with the Word and the nature of God, for as we saw, my name is in Him. The word name means nature, character, and authority. The nature, character, authority of the Lord is in the angel. In essence, we are speaking to the Lord and can converse with Him. Commonly, we hear from the Lord through our angel. Not completely. I'll show you that too. We must be careful if we are in sin and have selfish motives. We could hear from another spirit very clearly. That's why you're being tested. And when you're young, you don't get as tested as when you're older and supposed to know better and have read the Word more, you know. And you can handle up testing like this. And of course, it was an important mission in that it was also a witness to Candace. And Philip was anointed and successful in that mission. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit, this is the Spirit of God, said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So he was spoken to by the angel and spoken to by the Spirit of God. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other? And Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. So angels speak in faith, so that we agree with them and receive by faith what is said. Sometimes they speak faith and we wait to see if it comes to pass. And it doesn't come to pass because we're walking by sight. We're tempted to believe that they lied to us, but the fault is ours. The angels expect us to believe the word of the Lord as it is spoken. And for this reason, they do not speak to some people, because they wouldn't understand. Luke 1:13-20 says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, because thy supplication is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God. And I'm skipping through a little bit here. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. that stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak unto thee, and to bring thee these good tidings. And beholdest, thou shalt be silent, and not be able to speak. Well, first notice that angels should be respected. Why shouldn't Zechariah speak? Well, it was because he would have been speaking in unbelief, which would hinder the fulfillment of the prophecy. Don't speak unbelief in the promises, in either to God or to the angels, either before God or before the angels. So, he was not able to speak until the day that these things shall come to pass. Now it's too late for you to mess it up, so you can go ahead and talk now. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So our faith in the blood of the Lamb and our confession of the promises empowers the angels to cast down our enemies. Revelation 12:7-11. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels. And they prevailed not, as usual. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. So they had no more authority over the people, right? And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Well, notice that they lost their power along with the prince of the power of the air, Satan. Does this happen in a lesser way when we as disciples do what the early disciples did? It appears to be so. Luke 10:17. And 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. So it happened back then with relatively new disciples. So it should happen with us too, right? Cast them down. Cast them down. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So, what are the conditions whereby disciples can do this now? Verse 10. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For some reason, God's people haven't come into the completeness of salvation, power, or authority. Must be their leaders, and because they didn't obey the word of the Lord. So most of God's people don't believe in their authority and power to cast down demons, so they lose before they even get started. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. That's the saints, by the way. Saints is sanctified ones. It's not Christians. It's not what they loosely call Christians. It's saints, sanctified ones, right? And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Well, because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus, we are covered and guiltless and have authority over sin. And they don't believe that either. And because of the word of their testimony. This is also the word witness. Because we have the confession or witness of our authority over all the power of the enemy. Yeah. And they love not their life even unto death. Well, because they are living the crucified life, they have power, for the old man is dead, right? So we can see that the angels are a great power around us to come against our enemies and to win. Enemies of spiritual or enemies of carnal, men. And in the days to come, they are going to take down what history has already proven, and that is the Medo-Persian Empire is going to conquer Babylon. And they are going to, like George Washington's vision, join with the patriots to fight against this invading enemy and to throw them out. Glory be to God. Hope you got some of this. And don't forget, there is a war coming. It's a civil war. It will be grievous. It's going to be worldwide, too. It's the first real civil war. God bless you and keep you. I love you. Pray for me, too. Bye-bye.